Yes, sir, we promised you a great man. Oh, yeah. Nice.
It's Andre, the China.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild.
My God, what the hell?
It's the man!
Yes, yes, here we are. Stat Guy Greg, you there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that means it's time for... I mean, listen, it was borderline. We borderline had to do an emergency edition of Cheap Heat, the world's, I haven't checked this week, but I'd say 93rd most popular sports and recreation podcast. I am Peter Rosenberg, joined today, as always, by the man formerly known for stats... The once physically small, now physically large, and growing.
Still and growing. Physically strong, though.
Oh, and always, oh, yeah. Always physically strong.
Definitely and, growing, especially after that birthday meal this Monday.
Oh, SGG, we'll get to that one second. Happy birthday, Uptown Malcolm. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. A little bit sad. Greg History Week has come to an end. It's my favorite time of year.
Yes. How did Greg History Week go?
Oh, man, it was wonderful. I had a visit from the family. They came out to Philly. My niece brought my nephew. He's one. He can't, you know, he's crawling and walking all over the place. He's trouble, but he's a cute kid. And Monday was capped off with a dinner at a – Pete, you probably can't relate to this, but I'm sure some of our listeners out there, like, have you ever been to a restaurant where you saw the prices and then you got stressed out?
Of course, I can relate to that. I still have that happen.
Okay, because you're pretty mage. Like you're in the upper echelons. I don't know if you.
No, I'm the 1%. But I still get stressed out about spending a lot of money on dinner. How expensive was this restaurant? I mean, what was it?
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Crystal took me out for my birthday, so I didn't know where we were gonna go. I didn't know what the restaurant was going to be. I just looked at the menu and saw the prices, and I had to take a deep breath.
But then you remember that it's Crystal paying.
Yes. So that eased the pain a lot.
That should ease the pain. And, you know, listen, you not only did you score a valet, but you scored a valet with her own money, her own career. And I'm sure she was more than thrilled to expand the ever-growing stomach of the physically large Stack Guy. Did you leave looking like Viscera?
Oh, yeah, I had to, man. Like, the food was just great at this place. It was it's called Butcher and Singer in Philly. And the steak was good. The mac and cheese was on point. The creamed spinach, the chocolate cake, everything was just perfect. They had these biscuits that were like... I almost went back today and just asked them if they can just give me... I'll order the biscuits.
I'm looking them up right now.
Butcher and Singer.
This looks like a delightful restaurant. Which steak did you get?
Let me guess.
There's a 14 ounce New York strip.
That's the exact one that I got.
Of course it was. I knew the physically large was not going with that 8 ounce filet.
No, not
gonna happen.
No.
Now, at any point did you consider the 50 ounce tomahawk ribeye?
I did for like a split second, but Crystal's vegetarian, so I know she was going to help me out with that. So I just went.
So you went with the New York strip.
I could handle on my own, yeah.
And then what appetizer did you go for here? Let's see. Let's take a look and see what the physical. Did you do anything from the raw bar or no?
No, I'm allergic to shellfish, so I stayed away from all of that.
Okay, so you did a fried calamari.
No, I didn't even mess around with appetizers because you know what they dropped these biscuits, P, that were like, and the biscuits came with honey butter and they were baked to order.
That's it. So that's all you need.
Man.
So the side, I'm guessing you did the bacon mac and cheese.
We got the mac and cheese with no bacon because, so again, Crystal's vegetarian.
And
then cream spinach.
Oh, delightful.
And mashed potatoes.
And, oh, my God, the physical largesse. I mean, it's unbelievable. What a birthday celebration this was.
Yeah.
What birthday was this for you, SGG?
This is 32.
Oh, the big 3-2. The big 3-2. Now, in the world we live in right now, SGG, you could still just be getting your first WWE contract. You could still have a good run.
I know. Like, I still have time. And I haven't taken any bumps. So this is like, I'm fresh. I'm good to go. I can have a nice 10-year career here.
I mean, let's be honest. In the WWE era we live in now, I at 38 could be starting my main roster run. You know that there's still gas in the tank. Well, SGG, happy birthday. I'm glad you had a good Greg History Week. Did you participate in watching any classic wrestling to celebrate the birthday?
Of course. Everybody knows how much I love Bret Hart. And on 9/11, 1997, he participated in a match that I'm not sure many people know about. Like, he fought Terry Funk in what was Terry Funk's first retirement match.
Of course.
And I figured, like, this was like a sign from God. It's my birthday, and the match took place on my birthday.
And this was the match that was featured in
Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat, right?
Yep. Mm.
Good for you. That sounds like a lovely birthday. And then you were blessed by one of the most mage moments in WWE in recent memory, which would be the rematch between Natty and Naomi. I'm just kidding. It would be Vince McMahon and Kevin Owens,
man,
I might stay on this the whole show. I may stay on this the whole show because not only was it amazing in that it surprised the hell out of you to see Vince take a headbutt and get busted open the hard way right in the middle of the ring, and then just get pounded out by KO. That's the obvious part. But, Greg, the part that I enjoyed the most was the fact that they are – what did I say last week? Do you remember? I normally – guys, I admit it. I'm tired. I do a lot of podcasts, a lot of radio shows. I do a lot of stuff. And sometimes, you know, I do the podcast and I'm having fun chatting with my friend Greg, but my points are okay. And then sometimes I just magically hit the nail on the head. And SGG, if you remember back to last week – do you remember what I said about Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon?
You said that it would need to be in the Hell in a Cell. You said that it would happen at Hell in a Cell.
Did I say that?
I believe you did.
Well, if I said that, that wasn't even what I was referring to, and I'm even more mage than I realized. All I was going to say was that I said I love the utilization, if you will, of Shane O'Mac to make Kevin Owens more important. And now this is what I'm talking about. They have created a match with such significance at Hell in a Cell. I mean, we're going to be – I mean, the level of excitement, like we're 2 weeks away. We're less than 2 weeks away from a big, big pay-per-view and No Mercy. And by the way, just a word to everyone, I will be hopping on that jet and flying out 3,000 miles to Los Angeles and will be – part of the WWE broadcast that night. I will not miss No Mercy. If any of you peckerheads were worried that Rosenberg would not be a part of it, you will see me on the WWE Network that night. So I had to be a part of this pay-per-view. I wasn't scheduled to be, but I'm thrilled to be a part of it because I just think that, and we'll get into later, probably the only other thing we'll have time to really break down is Cena and Roman and kind of updating where we're at and how we feel about it, but I just couldn't miss that. So you're already about to head into a huge Raw pay-per-view, and that's what most people are thinking about. And now you're sitting there being like, yo, Hell in a Cell. I mean, I can't even describe, like, how big – I think now Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Hell in a Cell may be the biggest match that's coming up now.
Yeah, even bigger than Cena Roman.
I know. That's the craziest thing. Like, I mean, listen, Cena and Roman has a chance to get great mainstream attention, but as far as the every week, every show, hardcore fans, I mean, yo, like, just to see how much heat there is, and this is a real, the people really hate KO. People were really shocked to see Vince laid out like that.
Yeah, and I wasn't ready for that.
And they weren't cheering for it. They were in legit shock.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it. Like, I said last week, too, that, you know, Vince, I doubted that Vince would take a pop-up power bomb or like, you know, be the victim of any sort of violence. And then as the promo went on, I was like, okay, Kevin Owens might really put his hands on him. And then when I saw the headbutt, and that was more vicious than anything I had envisioned, like, ever.
When was the last time you saw something that crazy?
Like, happened to Vince?
No, like, period. Like, I don't know the last time I just saw someone on a Raw or SmackDown get purposely busted open like that. Like, let's just take a moment for that. When was the last time just that happened? Where they meant, you could tell that the intention was for someone to get busted open. Like, that's crazy to me. And then, and then for it to be a 70-year-old Vince McMahon.
The answer to your question that keeps popping up in my head, and I feel like there has to be one that happens sooner, was Brock Cena at Extreme Rules when Cena was just busted and bloody and like beaten to a pulp.
But guess what that was? A pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, Roman, Triple H, I feel like bloodied Roman up on the announce table at a Raw in the run-up to last year's WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken. But it's debatable if whether that was hard way or how that ended up happening.
It was insane, and it really speaks to, like, it's just, I love getting these lessons, these reminders in who Vince McMahon is. And, like, let's mark this down. Let's mark down the moment of September 11th, 2017. Who knows how many more we'll have. When Vince decided, for whatever reason, I just want to make the TV show better. I want to make the ratings better. I want to make people care more. And that's not just me telling people what to do. That's me, leader of this company at 70 plus years old, going to the ring and taking a headbutt and getting my ass kicked in the middle of the ring. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's you know, I talked about it today on the Michael Kay show. We were talking about the New York Mets, and I was talking about how the problems I think they have come from the absolute top of the organization, and how much you learn and how much is dictated by who runs an organization. And I mean, listen, for better or for worse, and I believe way, way more it's for the better. Vince McMahon's personality seeps through that entire company, and it does so because of things like that.
Yeah, it really does, because, like, you can tell he leads by example with this stuff. Like, he's a risk taker. Like, if I'm Vince McMahon at the age of, what is he, 72, I'm not going out there taking a headbutt from one of these spring chickens, especially like a guy like KO who can be violent, like, especially if you've seen his Ring of Honor work, and like, even anybody, it didn't even have to be KO, anybody, just take a headbutt just for the sake of good TV and doing what's best for business. Like, people joke about it now, and you know, but that mantra, like you said, it has to come down from the top, and like, he's about that life.
Vince turned 72 just 2 weeks ago.
And this is how he celebrates his birthday.
This is how he celebrates his birthday. Vince McMahon, I mean, the guy is pure savage. He's savage. Like, he went out there and now took a storyline, which, like I said, it had piqued my interest last week. But now I am sitting here, and I'm excited enough about L.A., and I can't wait to get to, where am I going for that? Detroit?
For No Mercy? I mean, Hell in a Cell?
Yeah. I think it's Detroit. It's Detroit or Minnesota. They're two back-to-back that are, I'm just so psyched about it. I am so, so psyched about it. So that was a tremendous, tremendous turn I did not expect to happen. And yes, it's Detroit, Michigan.
Yep. Little Caesars Arena.
That's right. Sponsored by KFC and WWE 2K18. in case you were wondering.
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
So, yeah, and all we know we have right now is Shane McMahon versus KO, Hell in a Cell, and Jinder Mahal with the Singh brothers against Shinsuke Nakamura.
Man, I love Jinder, but the less said about that promo on Tuesday, the better.
What was your biggest issue with it?
I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it, like, at all.
Like, conceptually, just the idea of him, like, trying to clown?
Yeah, like, I just wasn't feeling it. The Singh brothers didn't sell it either. I know they were trying to do, like, some physical comedy and mocking Shinsuke and his mannerisms, but none of it landed. Even, like, he resorted to some light racial humor, and, like, none of it, I didn't feel any of it, really.
Yeah, no, I noticed that, too, and it wasn't. You know, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this. There is a diametric difference, if that's the right way of saying it. I'm pretty sure it's not. Between what's happening with the KO Shane story and the Jinder Shinsuke story. You know, Jinder and Shinsuke Nakamura came out of nowhere, and there's really not any reason for them to hate each other. And I just don't, to your point, Greg, they were manufacturing like heat and really trying to get you to be like, oh, yeah, it just didn't happen. And then to follow it up with such a meaningful, awesome story between Shane and KO, it really makes it pale in comparison, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, at SummerSlam, I felt the same way about, Jinder and Nakamura. I was excited to see it, but it felt like a match that sort of came out of nowhere. And they did a good job of making it matter with that video package, but then, like, to have Shinsuke have to earn another shot at it rather than him, like, going in for a rematch, it's like they almost hit the reset button instead of just building off of that heat and carrying that forward. And so it feels like it doesn't matter again, almost. And that promo didn't make it matter.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little, I'm starting to wonder what they do, and I think now they're in a bit of a position where, like, the Jinder character is one dimensional. You know, like, it's all about him being big and repeating the same sort of things. But as we saw when Jinder came to the heat and greet, and who pointed this out? Was it Shoemaker or Goldstein? I think it was Shoemaker. Shoemaker pointed out during the podcast, actually. No, maybe it was after. Just that you could see how good Jinder is when you're able to zoom in on him up close and just let him talk. But when you try to make him this big, loud thing that the Maharaja is, it can end up falling flat. And one of the biggest issues everyone's had with the Jinder story is that it seemed very base, right? Like, it's based on xenophobia and things like that. And it's almost like they doubled down on that this week by making it, not only has it been xenophobic with, like, everyone hates him because he's different, but then it's like, well, he's also hates Shinsuke because he's different. Like, it's just
right.
It's just, like, really base. And I think that he can do better than that. So that would be the downside from SmackDown this week. But I'll still give the show a very high grade because, A, got a dope tag title match.
Yeah, we got some great championship matches. So, like, that Jinder promo and the Hype Bros, I don't know if you want to call it a breakup or, like, tension within the Hype Bros, both kind of fell flat. But those are, like, not that much time in the two-hour show, and the rest of the show was hot.
Yeah, I mean, you have a great tag match. You have the KO promo at the beginning, which was good with Daniel Bryan. And then you have the Vince thing at the end to sandwich the whole show, which is phenomenal. You get an AJ Styles Ty Dillinger match. It was a good show. And I'll tell you what, I thought Raw was a good show too. Although I will say, would you agree that we need something? Something's got to give in terms of doing something a little different between Roman and John in the go home next week.
Yeah, but I don't know what they do though. Like, because I do not want them to put hands on each other until the pay per view. And even at the pay per view, I don't want them to like go at each other. I want them to tease that moment out a little bit before someone swings that first punch. But yeah, these sparring sessions on the mic, which I gotta say, I think Cena took this week again.
Yeah, no, I think he did as well. I think that, I mean, let's be realistic. You put John Cena and Roman Reigns in the ring with microphones 10 times in a row, Cena's winning 8 of them, at least. That's it's not really a fair place to put them next to each other. So I just don't know if ultimately it serves its purpose. And particularly, again, sort of like to the point we were making about gender, when you just have them repeating the same thing, like week after week after week, you know, I'd like to see something more in terms of a story between the two of them. And I don't know exactly what that would be. And again, it's hard, too, because you're not having a clear-cut babyface and heel. So because you don't have a clear-cut good guy and bad guy, it limits sort of what you can do every week. Because, you know, for example, CM Punk and Undertaker. When CM Punk and Undertaker had their run, Punk was decidedly the bad guy.
Yeah, and so, rightfully so, though. He tossed the dude's ashes around.
Exactly.
Fun.
He started treating the ashes, Paul Bearer's ashes, like a football. Like, it went so far. I mean, I loved all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
it was great.
But, like, it was very clear, and every week you could just have him push it further and further and further. But in this case, when you have two guys who are in sort of similar positions, I just think it's hard to know what to do, especially when you're not trying to get the crowd to hate either one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be tough. I feel like the crowd definitely hates Roman, though.
I mean, listen, Roman definitely has the most heat right now. I mean, that's for sure. But I would like to see them come up with something because, as I've said, this is a big moment. This could be the beginning of your 2017 Hogan Warrior, you know? And, you know,
for the kids, it definitely is, though. Like, if you go to those shows, you watch, like, what was it, SummerSlam? And what was the one before that with the Punjabi prison match? They had it in Philly. I don't even know what the name of it was. Was that Battleground?
Yes, Battleground.
Like, to go to those two shows back to back, the most fascinating thing was to watch the kids during the John Cena match. Like, these kids are on their feet. They're cheering for Cena. Every time he gets hit, it's like they feel the pain. It's amazing. They're dialed in. And they're the same way for Roman. So, like, you sort of know where everybody else is going to fall, like, on what side of it.
And Greg, I feel the same way. And, like, someone on Twitter disagreed with me and was like, how could you say that this is Warrior Hogan? Everyone boos Roman. No, it's just that it's the wrestling business has changed. So now all the adults boo Roman. This, back in the day, the hero for kids and adults was the same person for the most part. Like, if you go back to 87... and you watch the reaction when Hulk Hogan, who was clearly and overtly geared towards children, when you see Hulk Hogan walk into an arena, yo, Greg, I'm sure you've seen it recently. When you watch it, it's crazy to watch, like the crowd reaction.
It's true. Like, it's so true. And that's the benefit of everybody not being on the internet and being backstage, is like they got to just enjoy the product. And just like you said, everybody rocked with Hogan. Like, it wasn't an age thing. Like, it didn't matter.
There wasn't, like, now I'm sure there were some adults there at the time, some who took their kids and they were like, oh, I really love Savage, you know, but like a bear, excuse me, bear.
He's got
bear.
Something to say.
Barry, I know. Yes. I brought up Macho Man. Shout out to Macho Man's dog Hercules, by the way. I don't know if he's still with us, but I always found it made that Macho Man named his dog after Hercules Hernandez. But for the most part, everyone rocked with Hogan. So when Warrior came out, everyone rocked with Warrior. So as a result, for us as little kids at that time, when it's Hogan versus Warrior, your head's exploding. Here, it's the same thing. Kids are all rooting for Cena, and then as Cena's been more absent, they've rooted for Roman. Yep. The only difference is now you have these contrarian-ass internet nerds like us who know way too much and overthink it all. So I really do love the comparison of this being the modern-day Hogan Warrior.
Yeah,
this,
and no, I was going to say, too, like, to your point about contrarian-ass people who know too much, like, even this idea that, like, oh, my God, Reigns is being shoved down our throat. It's like, Hogan main evented, what was it, 6 or 7 Manias in a row, some crazy like that? Like, if he's not being shoved down our throats, oh, no, I'm sorry, he didn't main event the tournament, but WrestleMania 4, but he was ringside for the main event.
Yeah. And he was still a part of it, yep.
Yeah, and then he went right back into the main event for 5, 6, 7, 8.
And didn't he come in the ring and celebrate with Savage after he won?
He did. So, like, Roman has a long way to go before he's been shoved down our throat, Hogan status. Even Cena didn't rack up that many main events in a row. It's like, you think none of these people were quote-unquote shoved down our throats? Like, that's just stupid. A stupid argument.
So, real quick, let's do the math on this. Hogan has the tag match in 1, Bundy in 2, Andre in 3. In 4, there's the tournament, and he comes in at the end and gives Macho Man the rub after him and Andre double DQ'd or count out, whatever it was. 5 is Hogan Savage.
Yep.
6 is Warrior. Hogan
Warrior, yep.
So that's 6 straight, only one of which he's not a part of. He's not in the main event, but he's still a part of it. That's 6 straight.
7.
And what was 7 again?
Slaughter, when he won the belt. The title, excuse me.
Repug. Now we're going to co-main events, right?
Yep. 8, he co-main events.
With Flair.
9.
Yeah.
9, he's not supposed to be anywhere near the main event.
And he still comes in and steals the main event.
Right. So.
And then he's gone for 10.
Yes.
So the first nine, the entire time he was with the company, he was a major part of the main event. Roman's on what? This coming year will be his what, 4th?
Yeah. He main evented 3 in a row, right? Triple H, and then Brock Lesnar before that, and then Undertaker just now.
Hold on. So wait, it was a triple threat with Brock, right?
Well, it was Brock and Roman one-on-one, and then Seth Rollins inserted himself into it.
And then Seth cashed in?
Yeah.
And then the next year was Triple H?
Yep.
And then this year was Undertaker?
Yep.
Which, by the way, though, you look back, and it's even more obvious that him and Undertaker should not have main evented this year. They didn't have to. It still would have been Mage, and it would have seemed like not such a force, and the match turned out to be. But anyways, it's neither here nor there. The point is, listen, is he getting the Superman treatment? He absolutely is. Cena did also. You can have your issues with that, but to Greg's point, you're absolutely right. He's not even halfway to where Hogan was. Now, granted, let's be clear, Greg, and I know this pains you. As over the last couple years, Hulk Hogan's not on the top of any of our lists, personally, and Roman Reigns is your best friend and hero. But he's also never been close to being as consensus over as Hogan was. Now, like we said, it was a different time. But, still, I think apples to apples, at this point, no one's thinking about Roman Reigns yet giving Hulk Hogan a run in terms of iconic stature.
Not yet, but I do think part of it though is Roman was sabotaged by CM Punk like right out the gate, like he got kneecapped.
Well, how do you think? Remind me.
Well, you know, after Punk walked and you know the Shield broke up, and then I think it was like November, he did a podcast of that year, and he was basically told the story about how, you know. Vince wanted Roman to look strong. First, he said he didn't want Roman in the Shield, that he wanted Cassius Ohno, and that they told him, no, we're going to put Roman in this spot. And then he told a story after that about how they wanted Roman to look strong and they wanted the Shield to look strong. And like after that, you could tell. And I know this as a fact because I was one of those fans that was like, damn, Roman might be trash. And then like I turned on him. But then he has a match with Daniel Bryan at Fastlane and like with Big Show at Raw, Cesaro at Raw. And he strings together all these great matches and you can't hate on him. But I feel like Punk definitely poisoned the mind of a lot of wrestling fans.
The smart fan.
Yeah.
And if you will.
He's still recovering from that, Roman is.
But that being said, I do need to I'd like to see a little bit more because I am very excited for No Mercy. But I think the go-home needs to be special.
So I got to ask you a question.
Please, please, by all means.
I am currently engaged in a Twitter debate caused by Kazim Famuidi. You know him as Kaz.
I do. And I think that was a good pronunciation of his last name, which I've never done well.
I might not have done it right. Don't quote me. But he said that somebody mentioned CM Punk to him, and he mentioned that AJ Styles is better than Punk at his peak. So I added to that, so is Kevin Owens. And I don't know why I did this, because now people are coming at me
because
from everywhere.
You are heel SGG.
People are coming at me from everywhere to say that that is just incorrect, that peak Punk is better than Kevin Owens. What are your thoughts on this? I'm going to drag you into this as well.
KO is a better wrestler.
Agreed.
But no, I mean, I couldn't say that because there is something to be said, and you might want to argue this, but I'm sorry. CM Punk has an all-time iconic moment. All-time. Not only was he really good and consistent, and him winning the title for the first time was cool. His Money in the Bank matches were cool. He was even good on ECW. Like, he was good, period. But to me, it's hard to put him. Let me put it this way. KO isn't better enough in ring to make me overlook one of the greatest moments of the modern era.
Which is what?
Which is the promo.
Are you serious? You're saying that a CM Punk promo is better than anything Kevin Owens has done in the ring?
I'm saying the moment is so iconic that I can't see past it. Like, KO hasn't gotten to his moment yet. He hasn't had it yet. Maybe Hell in a Cell is it. He had two incredible matches with Cena when he started, and that was an awesome, awesome start.
Right.
And since then, he's had some periods of where it's dropped off a little bit, and he's had some periods where it's been awesome, right now being one of them.
The Festival of Friendship, if we're going to go, you know, segment for segment, the Festival of Friendship isn't up there with the pipe bomb in terms of how iconic
it is? Not even close. In fact, Greg, I suggest, knowing how I've watched this podcast recently, if you, and I'm not threatening you, you do whatever you want, if you try to compare the Festival of Friendship to the pipe bomb again, people will never listen to a word you say again. In fact, we will lose listeners. We may lose everything. So please, on second thought, I am threatening you. Please, you're going to throw away everything we've built, everything that me and Shoemaker built. Please do not compare the Festival of Friendship to the pipe bomb, okay? Please.
All I'm saying is, listen, he doesn't have to recreate the pipe bomb, but for like iconic moments in his career, Kevin Owens has a lot with his WWE career. You know what I mean? Like, even from the night he debuted, like the way he turned on Sami Zayn, the way he won the NXT championship, like powerbombing Sami Zayn until they stopped the match. Like, he didn't pin him. He didn't make him tap out. Like, the refs literally had to call the match because he powerbombed Sami Zayn probably 7 or 8 times in a row. He just almost killed Vince McMahon in a promo where I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon took a shot at CM Punk also.
By the way, what did I saw Kaz tweet that. I did not fully understand it. What was the line?
When he mentioned his track record with lawsuits. He mentioned he was like, yeah, I've been in many, many courtroom battles. Do you know how many I've lost? Zero. Which he had a courtroom battle with CM Punk. I think it's still going on right now, actually.
But he's not worried.
No, not at all.
Listen, you're a troll. Like, I've learned that about you. Because there was no need for you to bring Kevin Owens into the conversation. You could have just let that. The AJ thing is cool to say, even though AJ has not had, you know, if their careers were to end today, whose impact was bigger?
Would be
still CM Punk, probably.
Right.
But AJ's so incredible in the ring. His matches have been so good that I think it allows you to have that conversation. KO is awesome. He's not AJ in the ring, so I'm not ready to have that yet. But you are a troll.
Here's the thing, too. Like, with CM Punk, his mic work, and this is the thing that irks me with, like, a lot of wrestlers, because, like, you know me, I'm an in-ring guy. Like, I'm all about the matches. And Punk has had some, like, good to great matches, but like when people talk about Punk, they let his mic work carry the day, and I'm never
well, listen,
support
it's not,
that.
It's not I don't believe that's because Punk is not a good wrestler. He's a very good wrestler.
He's
a very good wrestler. He's just not AJ Styles.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a better wrestler than AJ Styles or Kevin Owens, but like people want his mic work to carry him past them, and I'm just like, no.
All right, SGG. From Monday Night Raw, what else happened? I got so caught up in Vince, and we got a lot of questions that I want to answer here as well. What else did I have from Raw? Strowman,
how are you forgetting the Monster Among Men? Like
the monster.
He had a great Monday night. He had a great Monday night. He bullied Brock Lesnar again. Like, it wasn't enough that at SummerSlam he put the man through 2 announce tables and then threw the third one on top of him just because he was bored. On Monday night, he took a German suplex and, like, went back to his feet. No-sold it. Beat on Brock, power-slammed him, put his foot on his chest, and then just carried, like, held the Universal title above his head. And that shot, I never would have thought in a million years that I would see a shot like that. Somebody standing over Brock Lesnar like that with their foot on his chest.
I know. Brock Lesnar is a full-blown underdog.
Yeah. And then later on that night, Strowman turns around and bullies John Cena too.
Yeah. Yeah. He bullied two of the most protected guys like ever in the company.
Yeah, and let's just call it what it was, bullying. Like, it was wrong. There's no place for it, even in the world of professional wrestling. It was just ridiculous. It was crazy.
And to that note, I want to make this very clear. I just want to say that I believe Kevin Owens' behavior with Vince McMahon was totally inappropriate for the workplace. Like, no one should do that at their job, honestly. Like, think about what would happen if I did that to my program director at either of my stations. Headbutt.
Yeah.
Come on. It was totally unreasonable. And how that leads to just a match and not a suspension is beyond me.
Because he got Vince's word. He can. And that was the other thing we didn't mention about the promo, too. As soon as he said that I can beat a McMahon senseless if provoked, and Vince agreed to it, I'm just like, Vince, did you not hear all that trash you were talking to him before you agreed to this? And did you not hear him say a McMahon?
I know. It was genius. He's not a dumb man.
No.
But you're right. Huge night for Brock Lesnar. No doubt about that. The Miz announces that him and Maurice are having a baby. Congratulations. And then Enzo, I mean, where does this end, Greg? Where?
Hopefully not with the future endeavors.
It can't.
Now I don't think it will, but like,
now that they're going so far, this to me says we believe there's value in this guy, and we're gonna make him figure this out. Because otherwise, they could have just future endeavored him already. I think he somehow beats Neville at No Mercy.
I don't know.
That's what I'm starting to think. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens this week. But they've now made him. Did you like see how kind of scared he was of Neville when he saw him? Neville was like laughing in his face.
Neville's amazing.
But I will say, the "Who's your daddy" line was incredible. Like, that level of disrespect, like, you just announced you're having a baby, and he hits you with a "Who's your daddy" while laying on the ground. Like, I just want to know, like, this has to go somewhere. It's now gotten so painful that it's, like, actually something I'm invested in. Like, when I hear his music now, I'm like, oh, God, what's going to happen? Like, every time you hear his music, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that reminds me. I haven't seen 205 Live from yesterday. Was he not on it?
I think it was a short episode because of the finale of the Mae Young Classic, which I finally caught up with everything.
Well, that was where I was going to go. That's where I was going to go next. After we get through Raw, tag match. I'm doing this all from memory.
And, yeah, this is the new era, man. If it's not on your mind and your heart,
right.
It doesn't,
you know what?
It doesn't matter.
You know what? It's not on my mind. You're absolutely right. So what did you think of the Mae Young Classic?
So overall, that tournament was great. There's a lot of stars, a lot of future stars in that tournament. I really liked Rachel Evers. Shayna Baszler, I went into it wanting to hate her, and round after round, like, she won me over, especially her semifinal match with, I'm forgetting the name, Mercedes Martinez, yeah, her trainer, and like that little video they showed before, like that backstory gave it something extra that really hooked me in, man. And and Kairi Sane, man, she's something else.
And naturally, when I just saw someone ask you who you most would see on the main roster, your answer, of course, the man who runs the Black Power Rankings, Bianca Belair.
Yep, and you know she's going to show up on the Black Power Rankings for sure this week.
Although I'll tell you what, she would be at the top of my list too. I thought she was awesome. I thought the whole tournament was awesome. I really enjoyed it, like soup to nuts, the whole thing. Not only for what it accomplished, and it just putting women over generally, but like it actually just being entertaining.
Yeah, and like all the matches were different.
You know what else too? It's like I don't watch that much NXT because though I love the talent on it, I don't feel. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but there was something about JR and Lita and the feel of the show that felt old school to me. I don't know what it was, but it felt right. Like it felt really old school and good. I need to tweet Lita and tell her.
Was it the fact that it was just the two of them and not like a third?
Honestly, maybe it was. Maybe it was just that you had such a traditional play-by-play guy and then, like, the perfect color person because it's her world. It's just something about it felt right. And, yeah. and then the talent was really good. Some of it obviously more polished than others, but you really saw. I mean, you have to imagine a good handful of these people are going to end up on our TVs at some point.
Yeah, well, some of them are already, like, I know.
Lacey is already there.
Yep. I feel like Rachel Evers had a couple of NXT matches, so she might already be in NXT. Bianca Belair is in NXT already.
What about Sarah Logan?
She's in NXT already.
Right, I thought she was already there.
So,
yeah, there's already some that are already there. But, like, I have to imagine we'll see a bunch of these girls. You think Serena Deeb comes back?
I don't know. When she showed up in the tournament, I thought she would be like going deeper than she actually did. But again, she impressed me too. And who knows? Maybe she just came back for how big of a moment it was, and she's gonna go back into retirement. I don't know, but she still got it.
All right, SGG, it is the new era, so let's get to some questions here. I'm gonna try to burn through as many as I can. Let me go back. Who's the first person asked a question? How can WWE expect us to take gender as champ seriously, making constipation jokes while Owens destroys and bloodies Vince the same night? That's from John. Well, we already answered that, I guess.
Yeah. We can't take him seriously.
DMND, why do you always have to make the show about you? Well, because I'm age. So.
Right. I mean, it is your show. It's like, I don't know.
Do the Bella Twins really get the proper recognition for their role in the Women's Revolution? No. Of course not. Everyone naturally made the Women's Revolution all about the girls who came from NXT and not about girls who had to actually... I mean, you have to really feel for the Bella Twins. You have to feel for the ones who suffered through the time when it was not that time.
Yeah.
The Alicia Foxes and the Bellas and... You know, the Evas and the people, I'm sorry, the Eve and people like that. Could SGG, this comes from the Icon, could the SGG take a vicious shot like the one the Major Man did on SD Live? No, he could not.
Nope.
Did Vince spring the headbutt on KO in the ring? Whoa.
That's a...
Wow.
If he did, that's a ballsy.
Like he told him right before, like, headbutt me, headbutt me. I mean, honestly, you never know.
It's Vince. He's so crazy. Yeah, you don't know.
Pete, when will you pay attention for the entire episode instead of clearly getting distracted with whatever else you're doing while recording?
not this episode.
Yeah, I was actually really focused this week. But you're totally right. Sometimes it's hard. thanks, Chris. I agree with you. There are weeks when I definitely go, it happens. I talk a lot every day. Okay. D Carizales, any progress on your walkout song? We know SGG got one. You know, I got to hit up CFOs. I gotta hit up CFOs about this because I need something. Why do you still call the show Cheap Heat without the guy that actually created it and made it good, David Shoemaker?
Oh, snap.
This fraud. Well, there's
a really good answer to that question.
This guy's a fraud, and I'm writing you're a fraud to him right now on Twitter. You don't listen to the show. You're just a hater. The show's tremendous. When will you guys up your production and have some audio quality as other podcasts? Hashtag nerd question. Honestly, I would say for the general entire run of this podcast, it has been above the audio quality of almost every other wrestling podcast.
It's literally when we just do it over the phone that the audio quality dips, and that has been
generally
my fault.
That has been, but I'm hoping this is going to be better now that we hear your new microphone. Let's hope this is better. But
if
honestly,
it's not, then I want a refund. I want my money back. I bought a Samson Meteor.
But by and large, that's a ridiculous claim. I've been using a radio studio since the show started. So, I mean, listen, some people are just frauds.
Right, the best radio studios, too, not to, like, to go back to that other question and put yourself over it, but, like, Hot 97 and ESPN studios the whole time I've been.
Yeah, I mean, that's 90% of the shows. But whatever. Who wins in Hell in a Cell, Stack Guy Greg or Enzo? TJ Epic, very good question.
If the same people who have been writing for Enzo are writing that one, I got it in the bag.
Kenny asks, is a face turn for Bray the best thing for him? I love him either way, but he should be a top 5 star at worst. Basically, what should be next? Well, I've told you guys, I sort of think the character needs a bit of a redo. But... I'm not sure. You have a thought on that, Greg, of what you think the best move is?
Yeah, I don't think it's a face turn. What I think is that first of all, he needs a cult again. He started out as a cult leader, and now he's alone. He needs that, and he needs to be what he says he is in his promos. His promos, like, there's no reason to listen to them because he gets defeated every time. Like, he's not a monster. He needs to be a monster.
All right, hold on. Back to the questions at hand. No, not doing that. That's too much. Okay. Are people not giving Neville enough credit for this amazing run, or am I crazy?
He's crazy. I think Neville is getting credit for this amazing run. Like, he took the cruiserweight division and just strapped it to his back. I mean, he made 205 Live must see. He put on amazing matches with just about everybody in there. Like, you know, yeah, he's crazy.
Derek says, do you ever discuss how Cody Rhodes no-sold you on Sam Roberts' podcast interview? Did we ever hear about that? Someone told us that, right?
I listened to it. Yeah, he didn't no-sell you. He no-sold Shoemaker. I don't know. I forget what it was. I think he told a story about when you guys interviewed him. It might have been Radio Row at WrestleMania. And he mentioned that, like, he asked you guys, like, what are your names? And he said that you guys were offended that he asked what your names were. Like, he should know who you are. And then,
what?
Yeah. And then he goes, I forget what the rest of it was, but he was just like, yeah, you know, I've been doing media all day. Like, I should have just gave me a break and just told me their names without, like, being offended. And then, but he was like, he goes, yeah, the other guy was more offended than Peter Rosenberg. But then, like, so people told me, they were like, yeah, Cody bashed you. And I'm like, I never met Cody. What could he possibly have to say about me? And then after I listened to it, I realized, oh, the other guy was David Shoemaker.
Wait. So hold on. So I just want to get this clear because I did not know the story. So how did this even come up?
I feel like Cody brought it up. I feel like he goes, yeah, I have a good Peter Rosenberg story for you. And then he tells that story. And sort of buried you, but definitely no sold Shoemaker.
But that's not even true. I definitely wasn't offended when he didn't know who we were. Why would I ever do that? He was in character. He was being Stardust.
Listen, don't shoot the messenger. I'm trying to tell it to you.
When is this interview from?
This is, oh man, it's months old.
Wow, I didn't even know about this. Do I have to start something with Cody?
You're right. I mean, I don't know.
So wait, you're sure? You remember? You're sure for a fact he said that he thought I was offended that he didn't know my name?
Yes.
That's exactly what he said?
Yes.
Well, I want to clear this up immediately. Someone get Cody Rhodes on the line. I want to talk to Cody immediately. This is crazy talk. I would never care about that. Okay, how would you book Asuka on Raw? Strong. And by the way, big note from Monday, we finally get the official promo, Asuka coming to Raw.
Yeah, which I can't believe. I really feel like SmackDown was the better spot for her, but her being on Raw says to me that they need her.
Well, they at least think that. I mean, I don't know. I think Raw's fine, but I guess they need a little bit more for sure. I'll tell you what, though. Asuka tormenting Alexa Bliss as champion would be awesome.
You said Asuka losing to Alexa Bliss?
I said Asuka tormenting Alexa Bliss.
Oh.
Like chasing her down. Like chasing, you know, maybe she shows up and Alexa avoids her, just does everything. She had to almost run from her. You know what I'm saying? That's how I would book her. I would book her as she shows up. She beats the hell out of people. You bring in Jobert's. Not even just Jobert. She beats up everyone she can who's not Alexa or Nia Jax, basically.
She can beat on Nia Jax, too. I mean, she did it in NXT.
Not at this moment, though. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't do it at this moment.
Right.
Because Nia, you're trying to build Nia right now. You sent me the link to the guy who writes up all the wrestling podcasts?
Yes. I had to confirm that I was giving you the accurate information.
And how far is it down here?
It's towards the top. It's one of the first things. Like, it starts off the interview. So even if you go to listen to it, you don't have to No disrespect to Sam. I mean, you can listen to the whole interview if you like, but
Sam,
if you're listening just for that,
his role in the
to.
Kickoff show, which he and Peter Rosenberg do, and Cody says he has a story about Peter. The story goes back to when Cody would do interviews at Stardust, blah, blah, blah. He said that Peter and his host of the podcast, which Cody wouldn't name, were grossly offended when Stardust didn't know what their names were. Cody said that he thinks Peter's ego was offended, although he said they were total pros. Oh, okay.
So the record, the other guy was not me. The other guy was David Shoemaker again.
And now you're Bearing Shoemaker. This is unreal. No. Anyways, for the record, Cody, I love you. Was not offended by that, but I'm happy you remembered who I was at all. I honestly thought Cody did not know who I was. So.
Now you're burying David Shoemaker.
Because, yeah, he didn't know. Obviously, he didn't know who the other guy was. But, I mean, listen, the other guy, Shoemaker, is not a star of the WWE Network, so it's different.
That's fair, actually. When does the next Bring It to the Table? That's my question.
You know what? We don't know.
Can we get another?
I would love another. There have been six so far. I would love another. I would also love to know who it would be since JBL is gone to La La Land. Bedtime for Bonzo, as Gorilla Monsoon might say. Why is Bray and Finn still feuding after the Demon beat him at SummerSlam? My guess is they don't have anything else for them to do.
Yeah, but also I feel like Bray kayfabe explained that, though, through Goldust when he removed the paint and was just like, under this, he's just a man. So, like, that's
yes.
how he feels about the Demon as well. Like, you can come out with as much paint on as he wants. Under this, he's just a man, and I'm going to destroy that man. Which, again, like I said, storyline and kayfabe, like, that all is well and good and has the potential to be really entertaining, but they have to, like, actually do it every once in a while for me to believe that Bray is a threat that he says he is.
Kevin says, have either of you guys listened to ENC Pod, my second favorite wrestling pod after Cheap Heat? Hashtag Stay Mage. Thanks, Kevin. I have a little bit, and I actually I liked it, but I have not. It hasn't made it to regular rotation, and right now I've been sort of on a wrestling podcast breather, like the last 2 weeks. SGG, have you listened to Edge and Christian?
I have not. I've been meaning to, but there's just too many wrestling podcasts.
I guarantee you one thing.
In general.
I guarantee you one thing. If it was a Harlem Heat podcast, he'd be listening.
Oh, yeah, every week.
Speaking of which, it's time for the Black Power Rangers.
Black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black.
All right, SGG, it's your time. Break it down.
So, at number five, getting bumped up from an honorable mention, they were as entertaining as you said they were. I don't think you oversold it. I think you said it just right. I really enjoyed that black announce table.
Really? You're giving them love. You're throwing them an honorable mention.
I'm throwing them in at number five. It was a
They're in the countdown.
They're in the countdown. In at number five. I mean, if I can put myself in at number one last week, I can definitely put them in at number five this week because I was entertained. It is very, very New York. And it's odd, too, because, like, no disrespect, I feel like they did the recap, which is what a lot of podcasts do, but I was just highly entertained by their recap. And it was like a lot of one-liners, and I had a lot of fun, so.
Listen, I shout out to Black Announce Table. I know a bunch of people checked them out. They said their listeners went through the roof this week. Thanks to our listeners checking them out, and like Dip loved it. I got a bunch of feedback. How many times do they say facts when you listen?
Oh, my God. Just put it like this. You don't want it to be a drinking game. You'll die. It was a lot. A lot of New York-isms in there. But, again, like I said, I loved it.
Okay. And number four?
In at number four is Sasha Banks, the boss. She had a decent match on Monday Night Raw. She came out with the win. It wasn't memorable. Like, it's not going to make anybody's list of wrestling classics. But it was enough to bring her back to the Black Power rankings.
But you always want to have her there, let's be honest.
Listen, they don't give us that much screen time. I got to take what I can get. So nice. She shows up, she wins, she's in the rankings. That's it. That's just basically it. In at number three, Bianca Belair, which sort of contradicts what I just said, being that she lost the Mae Young Classic. But she had two great matches, and, you know, no shame in losing to the person who goes on to be the eventual winner, Kairi Sane. So Bianca Belair making her Black Power Rankings debut in at number three.
Wow, what an honor from her.
Yeah, this has been a big week for her, you know, Mae Young Classic, Black Power Rankings.
Yeah, so much to deal with in 1 week.
Number two, Jason Jordan. He lost to Roman Reigns, but again, like, this was a very strong showing by Jason Jordan.
Agreed.
And an entertaining match. And it's almost to the point where, you know, if it were anybody else, I would say that you would want to see them win. But if he keeps performing like he has been with the level of talent that he's been in the ring with, he doesn't necessarily need to win. He just needs to show the world why he is on Monday Night Raw solo. And he made a believer out of me even more so than he has these past
weeks.
Now,
listen, it's not important that he wins right now. It's important that after this little run is over, they have something good for him to do. That's what matters.
But it also matters that, like, he's earning his spot. You know what I mean? Like, there's no shame in losing to Cena and Roman.
No, I've lost to Cena and Roman.
And in at number one, it's the New Day.
Ah, the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Yes, four-time Tag Team Champions. And yeah, it's just another great match. I really enjoyed them and the Usos together. And I know I said that I didn't want to see Sasha and Alexa Bliss trade the Raw Women's Championship back and forth, but I could watch New Day and the Usos trade tag team championships or really just fight forever. They're that good, and the matches have been that good. And kudos to them for picking up their fourth tag team championship.
No, I agree with you harder. That is, you know what? I got to tell you, very strong Black Power Ring.
And I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black, and I'm black.
I would have liked to have seen Nikki Bella on there as I saw her take a picture with the Titus brand.
I did see that at the LA Rams game, right?
Oh, yeah, no, that was a different one. I saw it backstage at Raw. And we all know that Nikki has one body part in particular that could get her on the Black Power Rankings.
You can look, but you can't touch. You can't dream.
Bless up. Anyways, love you, John. All right, that will do it for this edition of Cheap Heat. I had fun today, SGG. If you want to reach out with questions for next week or say whatever you want, talk your trash, tell us you like Shoemaker's Pod better, at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. And don't forget, next week we'll be back with our big go home for No Mercy. I am very excited to be heading out to LA.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you should be.
But you know what? You're earning it. They're gonna put you to work. So,
damn, and you know what that's gonna mean? That's gonna mean that I did SummerSlam. That'll mean I'm working four straight pay-per-views. I'm like a full-timer.
Who do you think you are?
I know. I'm like Tony Schiavone for 1 year. I'm like Sean Mooney out this bitch.
Oh, man, you deserved it though, man.
You deserve it. Hey, SGG, great job tonight. And you know, don't go back to that restaurant for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Those biscuits are calling me, but I'm going to hold out.
Yeah, please, because I don't. You're physically large, but we also want you to be physically alive. Do you know what I'm saying?
I respect that.
I want you to know that if, God forbid, the worst happened to you, I would refer to you at some point as the physically dead Stack of Jack.
Well, while I'm here, I'm going to give you my blessings to do that.
All right, thank you. All right,
if
Greg.
If that eases the pain.
All right, stay mage.
All right, peace.
Aggression inside you chose to take it out on an inanimate object,
and not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up. Shut your mouth.